Everybody, happy Friday. It's September 18th, 2015. Thanks for joining me here on the Anti-Media Radio. It's Friday, so that means we're here to talk about how you can love on yourself. And I'm really excited about today. It is the birthday of chiropractic. I don't know if you're aware of the medicine that is chiropractic, if you've ever experienced chiropractic, or if you've never heard of it. I want to tell you about it because I think it's amazing. I want to share with you guys how it helped me overcome like major trauma in my body, something I endured for a very long time, and why it's important to your health and your nerve function. Our body is a very complex machine, has many systems, and they all work together as a systematic machine. Everything is kinetic in its motion and necessary to each other. And what's really awesome about chiropractic is that it allows the body communication as it's intended. Like, there's a network of communication throughout your entire body, and it's managed via your brain. And what's really cool is your brain is connected to every part of you via nerve, and those nerves are protected by your spinal column. And they branch out from the vertebrae into the parts of the body. And what's important about that is that your motions, your environment, your posture, the manner in which you use your body, like the activity level you have or the lack of activity level, all affect the way in which your body articulates, which affects the way the muscles are used, which affects the way that they connect to the bones, and then how they pull on the bones. And then that affects how all the surrounding tissues operate. And sometimes pressures get put in weird places, and a tight muscle can pull out a joint, or a joint with a lot of pressure could tighten up a muscle. So it just depends. And what's important about this idea is that it connects you to your being. We, you know, most of us are so focused on, oh, I gotta finish this paper, oh, I gotta edit this recording, or oh, I gotta watch this football game, whatever it is. We forget the us, the being inside the body. And that's important because, you know, a lot of people just kind of run through life having moments, you know, and they don't really let them process. And I've seen this thousands of times. Like, I used to manage a healing center. And what you realize is that there's this beautiful connection to what you're thinking, how you're feeling, directly to the manner in which your body is feeling or reacting. And that's probably the most beautiful part of experience, like a holistic healing modality, whether it be chiropractic, yoga, massage, Reiki, or acupuncture, whatever the case, it forces you to kind of have a process where you relive a moment, an experience, something that maybe you didn't quite process all the way, or something that you didn't like allow to move through you in the sense that it didn't run through your mind entirely and you didn't feel okay with it, or it was unsettled in some way, if you will. And it's really interesting because when you experience a release of an emotion, you can also feel it release in your body and vice versa. Like I've seen some really intense things, like for example, according to body psychology, a lot of people say that the psoas or the hip flexors are like the muscle of the soul. Like that's where we carry like our deep, deep stuff. And this one lady was having this really deep psoas work, and she just started bawling her eyes out. And she said that she remembered like a trauma from her childhood, and that she like recalled it, and she felt those emotions that she didn't have at that time, like flood her. And it's what's known as a healing reaction, and we've talked about it on the program lots of times. And that's important because healing hurts. You know, when you break a bone, it hurts for a long time, right? When it's healing, and that's part of the process of the body, is we've got to go through these motions. And a lot of times we're so reactive, and we are so outside of ourselves, and we've been trained to take a pill or, you know, ignore the problem. Even the way we're birthed in this country now is our mothers, you know, they're not in labor. They're in a drug-induced coma. And then when we get here, we're just pumped full of things. And I'm not one to deter your use of medical doctors if that's what you prefer. It just, I wonder, is it beneficial for us? Like the GMOs and, you know, all of these things that are synthetic. I just wonder, like, is it necessary? I feel like as a species, we just spend so much time complicating things. Like, we take a plant from the ground, we take it to the lab, we make all sorts of extractions and chemical changes, we add some stuff, and we go, now it's perfect, when you could have just utilized the plant straight from the ground. So these are things my brain just can't comprehend. And it's the same with the way we heal ourselves, is we traditional allopathic medicine treats the individual as parts. You know, there's a heart doctor, there's a lung doctor, there's a brain doctor, there's bone doctor, there's a blood doctor, there's a cancer doctor, there's just a doctor in every specialty. But what about the whole being? And that's what I like most about holistic medicine, is it's whole. You look at the whole person. You try and figure out what's ailing them in what department, and you really have a different view of health and well-being. So I got off on a tangent there, I apologize. So chiropractic, it's the birthday of chiropractic. It's 120 years old. It's really interesting. A man named D.D. Palmer performed an adjustment, and he wasn't a doctor, which is very interesting, but he managed to use his mind and decipher a connection between a problem. I'll read you the story here. So this is from sciencebasedmedicine.org. So chiropractic was founded in 1895 by Daniel David Palmer. He was a grocer with an intense interest in metaphysics. And prior to his discovery, quote unquote, of chiropractic, he was a magnetic healer. Oh, we're getting a call. One second here. Hey there, it's LaVon. Who am I talking to?
Well, my name is Val.
Hello.
I'm someone from the chat room.
Oh, how's it going? I'm sorry, I'm not in the chat right now.
Okay, well, I'm normal. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Am I being heard through the chat? Is everybody hearing me well?
No, my dear. I'll tell you what happened is that someone, probably Jules, it might have been Jules, maybe forgot to forward the calls.
Oh, so what's that mean?
That means that I'm calling UCY, but I'm talking to you.
Yeah, I'm broadcasting a show right now.
Okay, my dear. Okay, well, I apologize for interrupting.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
Who are you trying to get a hold of, just out of curiosity?
Well, actually, I noticed that Jules in the chat room said that she was going to forward the phones. So,
Okay.
therefore, I apologize for interrupting.
Not a problem.
I think you are wonderful,
Thank
and thank you for your show.
you. Have a great evening.
All right, my dear. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Sorry for interrupting.
Not a problem. Thank
Good night.
you. Not quite sure what happened there. So what's really cool is that Dr. Palmer was a magnetic healer, and he also had an interest in phrenology, which is a diagnosing of disease based on the bumps of the skull and spiritualism. Palmer reported to have discovered the principle of chiropractic when he cured a janitor of deafness by manipulating his neck. The fact that the nerve which conveys sound information from the ears to the brain does not pass through the neck did not seem to bother Palmer, if he was even aware of this fact. So, this person doesn't seem to like chiropractic. Palmer created the term chiropractic, which literally means done by hand, and he argued that disease is caused by the subluxated bones, which 95% of the times are spinal bones, and which disrupts the flow of innate intelligence. So, in a simple term, Palmer's argument is that when a bone is misaligned, it impinges the nerve, and then the signals from the brain can't pass fully through a nerve. And it makes perfect sense. And there's actually a pretty famous pathology study. I think the doctor's name was Harry Windsor, and he had a bunch of cadavers. And what he did was he identified their disease via subluxated nerve. So what he did is he, say a person had heart disease, he traced the nerve from the heart all the way back into the spine, and then at the spinal column he would find a bone out of place. And this was repeated over and over and over and over and over. So he validated that a bone out of place, putting pressure on a nerve, could inhibit its ability to function properly. So imagine if you had a computer and a bunch of its circuits were unplugged, what would happen? Or what if you were trying to run a car and a bunch of its hoses weren't properly installed? Or what if the axle was all misshapen or misbalanced? What would happen to the tires? So these are just things to consider, like other articulating machines and highly specialized mechanisms that rely on systems are no different than you. That's how you work too. So it's a remarkable thing to consider is if we keep our spine in a good place, then our muscles won't have unnecessary pressures, and our brain and our body can talk, and then who knows what could happen. So that's the idea behind chiropractic. And what's beautiful about it is that it reminds us that we have immune systems, which are pretty awesome, and we're going to talk about that more in depth here in a minute. But I just wanted to point something out that could leave you pondering here regarding chiropractic versus medical doctor. It's quite interesting when you compare the education of a doctor of chiropractic to a medical doctor. So they both require certain coursework, obviously, prior to. Let's see here. So I'm not going to go through every single course that they take, but at the end of it here, chiropractic college includes 2,419 hours of school for a degree, and medical schools require 2,047 hours. So technically, a doctor of chiropractic has more education, and most people go to doctors because they're highly educated. So just something to consider. Chiropractic's a wonderful medicine, and it's changed thousands of lives, and I've seen the most incredible things occur. And it's as important to understand, like, chiropractors improve nerve function. So I just want to tell you a little bit about nerves so you can understand how they work and what they do. So nerves are, we briefly discussed how they're responsible for relaying messages to the body and tissues and other organs from the brain. The brain controls everything. But also, the nervous system helps you maintain your immunity, so your ability to fight off invaders and disease. So if you support your immune system, you will essentially be a stronger being, which is super awesome. Another cool thing that I wanted to mention about chiropractors is that they give us access to awesome therapies that traditional doctors do not. For example, are you guys aware of laser therapy? It's a really cool modality that most chiropractors use in their office. It's been around for like 40 years. The government used to use it primarily. But what's really awesome is that lasers actually talk to your cells. I know it sounds crazy. Via photon energy. So lasers are photons, and our cells operate much in the same manner. Like they utilize photons to communicate. So the photons can be absorbed, reflected, or refracted depending on, the way it's being applied. And what's really cool is that this light stimulates the activity of cells. So it can initiate healing in various places, which is amazing. Like if people wanted this, they would be flocking to places just to have it. And you can literally apply it anywhere. Lots of people get it in their for the low back, for acute or chronic pain, cervical pain, which is neck pain, peripheral pain, injuries, myofascial pain, which is muscles, like TMJ, frozen shoulder, knee degenerative arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, carpal tunnel syndrome, Achilles tendonitis, plantar fasciitis, and these are all things that have been documented to be if highly improved is the term I want to use. They see immediate range of motion increase and pain reductions. And this is on the American Chiropractic Association website. Like they have a whole laser section. And there's also a really cool place you can go, which is LZR7.com. That's a really awesome laser that I've had experience with. But let's see here. You can go on to read like the different types of lasers. It just depends on its application. There are lots. So I encourage you guys to do some research on some alternative therapies in honor of the birth of chiropractic. And I know that Mr. Leslie was going to call us here soon and give us an update on our travels that occurred over the last week. You guys, we were getting really excited about going to the Heirloom Festival, and we went, and it was awesome. I got so much good footage. I met the most amazing people, and it was so inspiring to be in my home state, right smack in the middle of it, and experience the culture there. And there really is such an amazing culture in Sebastopol and in Santa Rosa, California. The people there are growing gardens everywhere, and there are people building homeless communities, trying to conquer the problems that we're facing right now in our society, and they're doing this actively, with or without the government's help, which is kind of awesome. We've also been talking about the idea of agorism, which is a means of operating outside the government. And these people are doing it. And it's just really inspiring to see. And I can't wait to share with you guys Leslie's perspective. He's got some really cool stories for us, including the fact that most businesses can comfortably leave their produce outside, and just people there are operating a community, and they take care of each other, and it's evident. And it was highly inspiring to meet the people that reside there regularly. They're very welcoming, and I'm grateful for my new friends, and I look forward to returning. And the festival, oh my gosh, you guys, the festival, it was everything I hoped it would be. There were rare foods everywhere and rare seeds everywhere too. And people gathered with the collective notion to educate each other, which I think we accomplished. And we made so many connections, and we're going to be examining a lot of cool things from the fair. Just to give you guys a little preview, I met a guy who's building a homeless community. I touched on that, but he's using earth. So he's using a method of cobbing. So he takes the clay from the earth and he mixes it with straw and mud, and he creates these really awesome huts that are weatherproof, and they're ideal for in any climate. You know, they keep heat and they maintain coolness, just depending on whatever it is. And he's going to encourage people to work together to build the shelters. So that's really exciting. Then I met Jeffrey Smith, who's working on a lot of amazing things that we're going to dive into later on, next coming weeks. And I'm working with the ladies who are GMO, I'm sorry, Moms Across America, the Hell No GMOs. So it's highly inspiring. We're getting another call here. Hopefully they got the right number this time. Greetings, this is LaVon.
Hi, it's Leslie.
Oh, hello. I was just talking about our travel to the festival and talking about how inspiring the people in the community there are. And I briefed our audience on a few of the awesome vendors that were there. And Leslie was one of the speakers. And Leslie, you had some really awesome things to say to people. And what do you come back with?
Well, mainly for me, in this moment, I'm in Thousand Oaks, and it's a feeling of getting my life back because the journey from when I left and when I was last in this Thousand Oaks to coming back here, and right at the moment, I left a sacred council. Where some really deep people that I want to hear are sitting in a council. A council is like they're all involved with compassionate communication, and they sit in council and they listen to each other deeply. And the fact that I picked up the phone to respond that was I going to call in, wasn't I going to call in. Kind of took me out of that space briefly, or at least they noticed that I was breaking the rules of the council, which is having to do with giving full and total attention to the person. You know, we so seldom give full and total attention to our feelings, pain, or anything. And this council process is something I want to bring back to San Diego. But briefly, I called in because I wanted to say, yeah, I got my life back. It's like to drive a 68 VW van up there with all kinds of people telling me I couldn't do it and leaving things at home that are really out of control in San Diego, and to have such a remarkable affirmation that the 68 VW could go up there and could come back, and it was such an uphill climb, you know, personally, you know, of getting up in Northern California and having feeling under the weather for close to 10 days or more, and then having something bite me on the back and having to go to the ER a day or so before the Friday before the event. And no matter what, I just kept going, kept transforming, or being open to the next amazing thing. And I did the opening and the closing ceremony right before the keynote speakers, and I too, like you, LaVon, I saw a glimpse into a kind of future that was so amazing. It's like, for me personally, I'm in what are called the 10 days of awe. It has to do with the birth of the universe, which started last Sunday. And that was also the night when the people here in the circle, many of them are grieving the loss of Harbin Hot Springs, which there was a devastating fire, and all the people who I'm staying with right now are just starting to express their pain about the loss of this hot springs retreat that meant so much to them. But basically, we're in a time of, as I see it, amazing loss, destruction, things we counted on falling apart, and also a rebirth and a restart of our lives. And I saw in a little small town called Sebastopol, which maybe you'll reflect on, I saw glimpses of the future. I saw a young generation in their 20s and doing remarkable gifts, you know, that were not limited by anything, not their age, not anything. They were doing, I went into a place called the Barlow in Sebastopol, and I ran into a 17-year-old girl who was working in this place called the Nectary. And it was like every college campus should have a place like that. They had every conceivable smoothie, superfood, specialty thing with all kinds of herbs and on the side. And it was amazing. And here was the 17-year-old who was like, blew me away. You know, in this place called the Nectary, she was working there with this other man who was shutting down for the night. He was 20. I just saw young people doing the most amazing, giving me the most amazing glimpses into ways of life that I had not seen before. Another example was a couple blocks away from that community market in this Nectary place where the 17-year-old was growing, was living and working. I saw a Whole Foods market where rather than staying open at 10, they close at 9. They leave all the fruits and what we would protect down in San Diego and in other parts of the state. They left it all out as if they just trusted the community. And I was reflecting how they didn't put away, they didn't protect anything. And I know they have a homeless problem up there, but they were living in a different world up there where there was fruit on trees and people took care of one another, homeless. People were fed I saw a church that was where different spiritual groups made sure everybody else was taken care of. And it was remarkable. It was remarkable to walk into another place that I wanted to see for 2 years in Roanoke Park. There was a young girl named Amy, and she's got her parents started a place called Amy's Kitchen. I walked into a place that was totally vegan or vegetarian, and you would never know it. It was called Amy's Drive-Thru. It was packed. It was like a glimpse into the future. It was like the Amy's was like a hamburger that I ate that was a vegetarian hamburger that was really tasty. And they built that whole building out of a barn that they tore down and made this thing. And there was a garden on the roof, and they had a drive-through where people could order this food.
These are things we can do everywhere. And you're right. It was like seeing a lens of what we hope to create.
Yeah, in this Amy's drive-thru, it blew my mind. Like the condiments, for instance, they had Celtic sea salt, organic ketchup, organic mustard, little packets. They had straws made out of paper, not plastic.
Hmm.
And down to, you know, it was a total non-GMO organic place. And it was dedicated to this young girl who's now, I don't know if she's still a teenager, but her parents started the place, and it's their flagship, you know. And the whole roof was a living roof where they gathered rain. And, of course, I was continuing to have mystical adventures with the rain, you know, up there. I had at least three or four of these mystical type of rain relationships that I've been talking about on the show or that you've personally experienced. But on the day I left Santa Rosa, there was this enormous fire, and I knew I didn't want to leave till the rain came, and the rain was, I was hoping would put out part of the fire, which is still burning. And, you know, a lot of people's dreams really got burnt to the ground, and I really do think a lot of new dreams want to be planted. And it was amazing to see. I really think drought, LaVon, I think drought is born out of a state of mind where people cannot figure out how to collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
That's what I, came up with.
We're in a people drought. We're an attention drought. We're in an emotion drought. We're in a being drought. We're too busy doing, right?
Mm-hmm. So I was amazed by this drought and being at the National Heirloom Expo where there was no drought. There was 300 kinds of squashes that never talked to one another from different parts of the world. And these squashes were dependent on people to carry them and create this pure food revolution. And somehow, through grace and opportunity, you know, I did the opening and the closing ceremony. I'll just leave one last story, and then I'm going to get back to the sacred circle here. The opening ceremony can be watched on Facebook. It's not on YouTube yet. It's on my Facebook page, I believe, or LaVon, maybe you could help put it up on someplace where a link could be accessible. But all I have to say is, it was 90 degrees temperature in Orange County. My closest friend, who honors rituals like I do, watched the opening. I mean, it was the opening ceremony where I was declaring the Pure Food Revolution. You actually recorded it, I believe, in your equipment. And then I had the Donna Shiva, the keynote speaker, come up and plant these seeds, which were pushing the restart button for the world. Well, the next day, my friend in Orange County, who I visited on the way up, was watching the opening ceremony. A cloud came over her house, and she said, uh-oh, Goldman's at it. She ran out of the house and put the rain barrels out, and there was a torrential rain for 10 minutes, and it was all over the news. And the next day, this character from Baker Creek came up to me in the morning and says, gosh, you can be like a national hero. I mean, you said there was going to be rain. You know, it's like when you live in community, like at the Natural Products Expo, Natural Heirloom Expo, and you live with people who are finding ways to collaborate no matter what, and being who they are in spite of everything. You know, it wasn't me. I was just empowered as the ceremonial person, and I made a point that I slept in my van for 3 days on site, because I wanted to hold the sacred space. Well, that was really amazing to me, like my friend, you know, she saw it, and then the rain came, and it came all through Orange County in parts of the area, you know, and on stage I had a gallon of rainwater that I brought from Southern California with me, and it was on stage. So that's basically the last story I want to check in with. You know, we live in a time of, like I say, destruction, fire. Everything we built up could be burnt down in a second. And it's time to really be reverent for the essentials, you know, that can build up. And we have to be ready to leave our homes if they're not working, and really greet the future. And gratefully, I saw young people, you know, I've always believed in the young people that are leading the way. And it doesn't matter that they're 17 or 18 or 19 or you know, they've got their dreams and they're not being limited by getting school educations that lead to no place. They're off doing their dreams, and there's cows up there, there's animals, there's things, you know, that represent people coming together in that expo. How about you, Levon? Will you go back there?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It was just a really inspiring place, and it felt mystical. It really did. I think just that many inspired people in one place, you couldn't help but feel the magic, you know, and it was a time for growth. A lot of people, like all of the plants there, grew. And I can't wait for the next one. I can't mm-hmm. wait. There's a lot of things going up and on in that community. At the Solar Institute, they're having like a free permaculture course, or not free, but they're having a permaculture course. Like, I was thinking about going up there and visiting those people. And there's another guy who's Gilbert Sir Cobalot, who's building the homeless village. You know, it's just beautiful things are happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's a different view into another peak, into another way that people could be. And it would be interesting to see if any of that could be transferred to other places like San Diego, where we live now. And we just have to figure out how to replicate some of the things. But one of them for sure is being open about our pain, being open about what we have to say to one another.
Yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Yeah,
Learning how to sit in council, and rather than suppressing what causes the drought, figuring out ways, you know, to communicate to one another.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your healing sacred circle to share with us your thoughts, Leslie. It matters and it's important, and I thank you.
Okay, well, I wish you all well, everyone who's listening, and I hope this you got something from what I'm saying. The next National Heirloom Expo is September 13, 14, and 15 in the same place, and I'm mm-hmm. really clear that that the earth yearns for every drop of cooperative living. You know, I'm starting to work on the next show right now.
There you go. Thank you, Leslie.
Okay. Okay, bye.
Bye. So that was Leslie Goldman. He sounds very tired. He has been on travel for over a month on what he calls his sacred journey, his journey to win back our sacred seeds. And he views each one of us people as a rare seed, growing as an amazing exotic plant that is individualistic but cooperative at the same time. And he's right. That couldn't be more precise, and it's just a beautiful way to look at humanity. And he was talking about a healing circle, like a place where people gather and they share their thoughts and they help each other let things move through them. And we briefed on this at the beginning of the program when I talked about how holistic medicine kind of triggers a healing reaction, so, you know, within the self and the practitioner. How beautiful would it be if we didn't need to pay any doctor to have that type of feeling within us? What if we could gather with our community of closest friends and loved ones and sit in a circle of respect and love and commune and speak our feelings and be heard and process things as a unit? Like, I imagine people did that for a long time, and it's nice to hear that people are still practicing that. It does so much, you know, not just emotionally, but on a physiological level. When you receive that type of feeling, it changes you and it makes you healthier and stronger. And that's a perfect segue into our next topic, which is makes all of these things relative that we talked about tonight. The birthday of chiropractic and how it supports the nervous system and how it may facilitate a healing reaction, and how holistic medicine looks at the person as a whole unit, and how they introduce us to a really awesome concept like laser technology. And we talked about how that supports the immune system and makes us healthier. And Leslie gave us a little overview of his perception of the travel to the Heirloom Festival. And he speaks in metaphors, but what he was saying primarily is that he feels like we're in a shift, a time of change, and I think he's right. You know, people got to start looking more inward. And a really awesome person whose perspective I enjoy is Mr. Mercola. He's a nutritionist, and right now he has got a cool article titled "Neurologist Speaks Out About the Importance of Gut Health for Prevention and Treatment of Incurable Neurological Disorders." There's a video on there if you go to mercola.com, but I will read to you some of this article because it's very important. So the quality, quantity, and composition of the bacteria in your gut have enormous influence on your brain. Dr. David Perlmutter explores this phenomenon in his great detail in his new book, Brain Maker, The Power of Gut Microbes to Heal and Protect Your Brain for Life. So that's another system, right? This guy is a board-certified neurologist, and he's been publishing lots of findings in peer-reviewed medical journals. We're now recognizing from research at our most well-respected institutions from around the globe that gut bacteria are wielding this very powerful sword of Damocles, he says, which is a way they determine whether or not we have a healthy brain or not. So this is important, you guys. Turns out, most of our immune system is in our belly. Why does that matter? Well, if you're eating foods that throw off the balance of bacteria and microbes in your belly, you're basically becoming immensely susceptible to disease. He says that every system in your body interrelates in a way that is ultimately causing the manifestation of either health or disease. No way. There's no way. It turns out the notion of reductionism, where your body is reduced to its individual parts, is completely nonsensical and grossly flawed. How can it be so? Every system in your body is connected? No way. So these 100 trillion bacteria that live within your gut are so intimately involved in your brain at the numbers of levels. They manufacture neurochemicals, for example, things like dopamine and serotonin. They manufacture important vitamins that are important to keep your brain healthy. They also maintain the integrity of the lining of your gut. The latter is important because when your gut lining becomes compromised, you end up with permeability or leakiness of the gut. This increases inflammation, which is a cornerstone of virtually all brain disorders, from Alzheimer's to multiple sclerosis to Parkinson's and autism. We've really got to deal with it on a preventative basis, says the doctor. I could not agree more. So this is the most important part of this, okay? And I've been thinking about this a lot because I'm having an issue right now with my body where I know my flora is in imbalance. I'm almost going through self-imposed candida overgrowth just to document it. Yeah, that's how much I love you. So today someone was like, what's wrong with you, LaVon? I have eczema on my hands right now. And I didn't want to say, oh, for science, I threw off the balance of my body so I can document myself healing my candida overgrowth naturally and reversing all of these things. I just was like, oh, I'm allergic to something. But anyways, research shows that swapping gut bacteria can reverse type 2 diabetes and other diseases. I've been having every symptom that diabetic has: the mood swings, lack of sex drive, lack of appetite, weight gain, mood swings, tiredness, just all sorts of things. So I know there's a major correlation in relation to my diet. So a researcher in Amsterdam supports this. His name's Dr. Max Nieuwendorp. Please forgive me if that's wrong. He published a number of studies looking at the changes in the microbes that are characteristic of type 2 diabetes. In one trial, he was able to reverse type 2 diabetes in all of the 250 study participants by doing fecal transplantations on them. Remarkable as it may sound, by changing the makeup of the gut bacteria, the diabetes were resolved. He has embraced this new information full force and has even helped develop peer-reviewed scientific journal Medicus that focuses on this kind of research. They are also holding an annual conference to which the leading microbe researchers in the world are invited. I want to go. So this is really exciting, guys, because we now understand the direct correlation between our guts and the function of our body, which seems really ridiculous to say out loud. It turns out that the microbes are 99% of the DNA in your body, and it's highly responsive and changeable based on lifestyle choices. Most importantly, our food choices. There is this beautiful dance that happens between the gut bacteria and your own DNA. The gut bacteria actually influences the expression of our 23,000 genes. Think about that. The bugs that live within us are changing our genome expression moment to moment. Our genome has not changed over thousands of years, but now suddenly we're changing our gut bacteria. We are changing the signals that are going to our own DNA, coding now for increases to things like free radical, oxidative stress, and inflammation. So, you guys, this is important because food becomes you. And it becomes embedded within your cells. Literally, it's what you're made of. Every 28 days, you're new. That's why we have a whole entire show and I focus on food. We have all this dedication to food and personal wellness and personal responsibility because you have the ability that is so powerful. Like the decisions you make right now are literally going to affect generations for thousands of years because that food you eat becomes you. You become so many things because you're impacting every person you meet every moment. You're changing who knows who, right? Think about it. Like we're merely a collection of every moment we ever have. My trip to the grocery store could change someone's life forever. This conversation could change someone's life forever. You have the same effect on everybody. So why not be the best you can be? And that's the foundation of chiropractic. That's the foundation of holistic medicine. I think that's the foundation of the National Heirloom Expo and all the people who are there. So they want people to be their best. Because if we're all our best, we're going to create a better world. And how awesome does that sound? And the most beautiful part of that notion is that we can choose it. It's literally your choice. And it's really unfair because we live in a world now where it's so backwards, where we're so influenced to emulate. You know, we're always trying to be like somebody else. Why? What kind of plant are you? What kind of rare seed are you? What are you going to grow into? Think about that. You're not the flower next to you, or the squash over there, or that carrot. Perhaps you're a dandelion. Maybe you're an unsung hero of the medicine world. You know, people think you're a weed, but you're actually a super healer. Awesome, delicious salad. Who knows? You do. So I challenge you for the next week, try and be a human being, not a doing. So what does that mean? That means make healthy food choices, Try and stay away from processed things. Try and eat foods that are alive. So you want to try and balance the flora in your belly. And I encourage you to do some reading about the flora and the importance of bacteria. And if you're feeling things like tiredness, mental fog, oh gosh. First time ever. Oh, I didn't think I'd ever sneeze on the show. There it goes. It happened. You're lucky. There's usually like 12 of them, but I'm not letting them come out right now. Not saying that it won't happen again, though. Oh, man. Okay, what I was saying is. Sorry. My body's like, I want to sneeze 500 times right now. What I was saying is, I challenge you to be a selfish, self-loving soul slash being for the next week. So that means do some research about the importance of flora and how it may benefit you. Oh, what I was saying and specifically was, if you're feeling tired or moody or abnormally not yourself, try this one thing. Go to the store, maybe any kind of store, and get a super cultured beverage, like either yogurt or a powdered form probiotic of some sort, and just try it for like 5 days. Get like the most little bacteria you can get that are alive. Or go get a kombucha, or go get some kimchi. Go get a fermented something that's alive. You're alive. You need to eat things that are alive. Try it. See what happens. Be amazed. Like, I literally feel like I went to the expo dead. Intentionally, like, I've been eating lots of things that I shouldn't because I wanted to see what would happen because I'm crazy that way. Same person who went to medical school, even though they hated conventional medicine, just to know that it sucks as much as they think it does. Sorry. But that's just me. I've got to live in that which I dislike so that I can consciously not give it my energy. So I've been abusing myself for the love of others. Like, I want to demonstrate what certain foods can do to us and also how they can heal us, because food is medicine, and more importantly, you are your own doctor. And Dr. Palmer believed in that, and he 120 years ago started a whole new modality of healing, and he was just one being. So what are you going to grow into? What do you believe in? And how do you know if you're not your best? So I empower you to be your best, and it starts literally in your core and in your inside. Take care of your belly, take care of your feelings. Express how you feel. You know, if you're having an emotion, let it move through you, however it may. You know, don't hurt others while it's happening, of course, but seek counsel and maybe look up some nonviolent communication. Like, that's a really cool thing that I've been trying to practice for almost a year now. And I really learned a lot about people over the last week. And I'm really grateful for the gathering at the expo. Such an awesome time. I cannot wait to share with you guys all the awesome footage and interviews that I obtained while there. It was remarkable. Like, it was a week ago, and I'm still in awe. I'm not Jewish, but I'm so much in awe right now. No disrespect to anybody celebrating what they call the birth of the universe. And this time of reflection is, I share in your reflection because people are changing right now, and it's a really cool time to be alive. And I'm excited to see what kinds of things we'll build in the future. I'm working right now on recording an audiobook for Derek Bros and John Vibes. It's called The Conscious Resistance: Reflections on Anarchy and Spirituality. And I've never had such a challenge in my life. It has been such a beautiful experience, and I can't wait to share it with you guys. And I encourage you to go online right now and download the book because it's a beautiful piece of work. And one of my favorite topics, which we're going to really delve into the next month or so, is something called agorism or agorism, however you want to say it. And basically, it's non-compliant living as freaking intended humanism to the extent. And it's a really cool idea, and I'm going to practice it tomorrow. In my yard, I'm having a yard sale. What a concept, operating transactions without a license or collecting taxes. Woo, naughty girl. So look up that term if you will, fancy to do so. Agorism, and The Conscious Resistance is a really awesome book, in themed with tonight's show, where we're talking about how we can be our best. And there's a lot to be learned from reflections. And it's intriguing. It's intriguing when you delve into the notion of anarchy, because that's just a word that separates us, right? It's a very powerful word, and we talk about that a lot on this program. Is I feel like our language divides us. Like I feel like there's so many things I can't properly say because I can't make sounds that I want to because this language is limiting. And I feel like we can't properly convey our feelings to each other without getting upset. So what's really cool about this book is that it does a lot of word clearing, which is a manner in which they define the words that they want to use in which manner they want them to be understood. So maybe you can add that to your challenge for this week of trying to repair your gut balance and look into what it means to. I can't believe I completely forgot what I was just saying. I need to see you guys. This is why balancing your gut bacteria is important. It really plays an important factor in brain function. So, wow. Talk about brain frog. Brain fog. I was talking about how awesome this book is, The Conscious Resistance, Agorism. And I completely forgot what I was saying. I apologize. It basically clearing words. There we go. There we go, brain. Took you long enough. I feel like our language divides us because we say words and they're misunderstood. So, say you want to have a healing conversation with somebody over the next week because you're doing some introspection and you're spending less time on your technology, the machine, and more time on your technology, you. And I encourage you to clear some words. You know, if there's something you want to talk about, just make some definitive terms. Like say, hey, for the purpose of this conversation, I'm going to use the word toilet, and this is what I mean. So, more on gut balance next week, guys. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.
I'ma let them know, no, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.